is chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'd like you to imagine a group of people, a rather large group of people, about 2 million of them. Some men, some women, and some children of all ages. And these children are camped out in a wilderness on the shores of the Red Sea. And if you could look at their faces, you would see that their faces are filled with fear. Because they're hemmed in by mountains on two sides, and the sea is in back of them, and in front of them comes a powerful army. The Egyptian army led by Pharaoh and his people, and they're mad. And they hate these people. And they want to kill them. And they've got good reason for being angry. Because these people used to be their slaves. And in fact, for 400 years they were slaves down in Egypt. But then God sent a man called Moses. And Moses went to the king of Egypt, who was called Pharaoh. And he said to Pharaoh, "This is what God says, let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord God of Israel that I should let his people go? I don't take orders from him. I'm the king of this country, and I'm not going to let these people go." And so for the next year, God sent 10 plagues into the land of Egypt. They're called strokes. And finally, the land of Egypt was just ravished. It was almost entirely ruined. And finally, Pharaoh broke and he told Moses, "Get your people out of here. We don't want them anymore. Just go and just leave." And so late one night, the people did. And they took with them a lot of the gold and silver from Egypt. So they were very, very wealthy. And about 2 million of them left the land of Egypt, and they started walking out into the wilderness, and they encamped by the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh had a change of heart, and he hardened his heart, and he was mad. He said, I'm gonna destroy these people." So he got all of his horses and chariots and his powerful army, the most powerful army in the world, and he said, "Go get them and kill them." So this army started out. They were just about ready to attack these people. And the people were scared half to death. And who would have believed that it wasn't the children of Israel who were going to get killed, but the powerful Egyptian army? And in fact, there wasn't one horse that was left when it was all over. God destroyed the most powerful army in the world. Who would have ever thought this? We would have thought that the children of Israel would have been killed. They didn't even have a bow and arrow to fight with. They had no weapons. None of them had ever been in a battle. They didn't know how to fight. They were totally helpless, except their God was protecting them. And maybe you remember how God did that. He parted the waters of the Red Sea, and he told his people to walk right through, and they did. And there was a big wall of water on the right hand and a big wall on the left. And Pharaoh said, "Well, if they can do it, we can too. Let's go right in after them and get them." And when Pharaoh went in there, all of a sudden the walls of water came together, and the whole army drowned. Now, this was a shocking event. And this was really the birth of the nation of God, the people of Israel. They should have been killed, but they weren't. So they were living on borrowed time. And later on, years and years after this, hundreds of years after this, when their descendants forsook God and God sent them to Babylon and made them slaves there, they remembered their history back here. And they said, "God, remember what you did to the Egyptians. Now come and fight for us." Because God had done this. The winners sometimes are the ones that we would think would be the losers. And the losers are the winners. And that's about what we have here, isn't it? Surprise number two in the second sentence of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, if you are mourning, that means you're unhappy. That means you're sad. This time of the year, if you listen very, very carefully, especially early in the morning and early evening, you'll hear some very soft cooing by birds that are called mourning doves. And they sound kind of sad, but they're beautiful birds. And we wonder why Jesus would say this. Blessed are the ones who are mourning. Because we would think it would be just the opposite, wouldn't we? We would think that blessed are the ones that are happy because they're already comforted. They don't have any problems. Jesus says, no, it's not that way at all. Blessed are the ones that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And very often in the Bible, you can take the opposite and it's also true. Cursed are the ones that do not mourn, for they shall not be comforted. Now we wonder what Jesus means by this. What does he mean when he's talking about people who mourn? You know, there are different kinds of mourning. The heathen people mourn too. The children of the devil mourn. Sometimes they're unhappy. If they lose a big bunch of money, they'll be unhappy about it. Or if a member of their family is sick, one whom they love, they'll mourn for that and be unhappy. And you've seen them out in cemeteries, maybe, when one of the members of their family have died, somebody that they love, and the bodies are lowered into the grave, and they weep and cry and are sad about that, and they're mourning about it. But that's not the kind of mourning Jesus has in mind. You mean, everybody does that. Even children of the devil can do that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about a kind of sadness either that's a kind of a hopeless thing. And there are people like that. Remember Judas Iscariot? He was one of the 12 disciples. And he betrayed Jesus and he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He was really happy to have that money. But the happiness didn't last very long. And finally he began to have pangs of conscience. And he took that money and he went back into the temple and he went to the chief priests and the elders and he said, I have sinned. I betrayed the innocent blood. He wanted help from them. You know what kind of help they gave him? They didn't give him any. They said, that's your problem. Don't bother us with that. We don't care about that. That's your problem. You go solve your own problems. Don't cry on our shoulders. So Judas went out and he bought a rope, hung it around his neck, threw it over the limb of a tree, and took his own life. He was very sad. That's not the kind of mourning that Jesus is talking about. The Bible tells us something about this in 2 Corinthians. It says, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. The sorrow that the children of the devil have, that doesn't do any good for them. It only works death in them. When Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn, he's talking about a different sort of thing. Let's look at a couple examples of people who mourn that are what Jesus are talking about, blessed ones. Luke chapter 7. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to come to his house and eat with him. So he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Now, while they were eating dinner, something happened. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat to eat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping, because she was sad. And she began to wash his feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now this woman was a notorious sinner. And the Pharisee, when he saw that, he said in his heart, and he didn't say this out loud, but he thought this in his mind. He said, you know, if Jesus was really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is that's washing his feet, and he'd kick her out of the house. Now, Jesus knew what he was thinking, so Jesus said, "Simon, I've got something to say to you." And Simon said, "What is it?" Now we'll put this on our own terms. Jesus said, "One time there was a man, and there were two other men who owed this man some money. One man owed him $5 million, and another man owed him 50 cents. And neither one had the money to pay, so he canceled the debt of both of them. He said to the guy that owed him $5 million, you don't have to pay it. And he said to the one that owed him 50 cents, you don't have to pay that either." And then Jesus said to Simon, "Now which of these two guys do you think is going to love this man the most?" And Simon said, "Well, I suppose it'll be the one that was forgiven the most." And Jesus said, "That's right. That's right." And then he drew a parable. He says, "You know, you're a sinner and she's a sinner. But she realizes what kind of a sinner she is. She realizes how much she has need for a Savior. And that's why she's come to me. And that's why she's washing my feet with her tears. When I came to your house, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't bid me welcome. You didn't do anything. Because you really don't have a love for me. You think you're so good that you don't need a Savior." She realizes how much she needs one. And that's why her love is great. You see, this woman was mourning for her sins. She was feeling bad because she knew that she had sinned so much against God. Now, Simon had too. The Pharisee had. He just didn't realize it. And he didn't really care about it. There's another example of somebody one time who really felt his sin. This was a boy, probably a teenager. And he wasn't very happy anymore in his father's house. He wanted to leave. He didn't want to obey his father anymore. He wanted to go live the way he thought he could have a lot of fun. So he knew that his father was very wealthy and that when his father was going to die, he'd get a bunch of money for an inheritance. But he didn't want to wait that long. So he came to his father and he said, "Father, give me my share of the money now." So his dad did. And then he left home and said, "Goodbye, I'm gone. I'm out of here." And he moved away into a far country, and did he have fun? He spent all of his money doing things he wanted to do, things that really made him happy, he thought. But it wasn't very long before all the money ran out, and he didn't have any anymore. He blew it all. And then all of a sudden, a famine hit the land. No rain fell, no crops grew, and the kid started to get hungry. He didn't have anything to eat. So he went to a man that lived in that land and asked for a job, and the guy sent him out to feed pigs. And he was out in the pig yard feeding pigs, and the pigs had better stuff to eat than he did. And then finally it says he came to his senses. And he said, "You know, my father has servants that are better off than I am. I'm going to go back home." And this is what he was going to say. "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants.'" So he went home. He was sorrowful. He was mourning. He was mourning over his sins because he had sinned against God and his father. And he found out that when he got close to home, his father had been watching for him. And his father ran out to meet him, put a nice new coat on him, put a ring on his finger, and welcomed him back home and had a great big party. Because the son had repented of his sins, he was sorry for him. And he that had been lost was now found. Now this is what Jesus has in mind when he says, "Blessed are the ones that mourn, for they shall be comforted." It's the kind of feeling that Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." And when we read God's word and we see how much we sin every day, it makes us very sad because we love our Heavenly Father. He sent His Son to die for us. And we don't want to break His commands. And yet we find over and over and over we're doing that. And sometimes we just simply can't help it. And so we're sorry for these things, and we can't be happy when we're living this way. And so we come to Jesus and we say, forgive us. And he says, I'll do that. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then he says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The ones of you that are carrying very heavy burdens and just find out you can't go a step by yourself anymore. You come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And sometimes it seems like the children of God have such a hard life, doesn't it? Carrying such heavy burdens. But you know, Jesus told a story one time that kind of fits in right here. He says one time there was a man who was very, very wealthy. And it's not wrong to be wealthy. It's not wrong to be rich. As long as you're rich with God too and your heart is right. But this man wasn't. He wasn't a Christian, didn't believe in God. And he spent all of his money living in a good life in this world. He dressed in purple and fine linen, the best clothes, and he had the best things to eat every day. And out at his driveway there, laying on the ground, was an old beggar whose name was Lazarus. This guy had nothing to eat. He even would have liked the garbage that the rich man threw out, but he couldn't even have that. And he was laying there, and his body was full of sores, and the dogs were licking his wounds. And if you look at that, you say, man, this one guy has everything, and the other guy doesn't have anything. Now, if you could look into the heart of the rich man, though, he was a child of the devil. And Lazarus was a child of God and believed in his Savior. And Jesus said one day the beggar died, and when he died, the angels came down, they took his soul, and they gave him a ride up into heaven. And so Lazarus was up in heaven, and the rich man also died, and they buried his body. His soul went right down into hell. And he looked up, and he saw Lazarus up in heaven with Abraham. And he said, Abraham, send Lazarus down here with a drop of water to put on my tongue. I'm just tormented in this flame. The rich man didn't have one single drop of water down there. All the money that he had when he was on the earth and all the good things he left behind when he died. And now he doesn't even have a glass of water, doesn't even have a drop of water. And Abraham says, no, Lazarus is not going to come down there. There's a great big gulf between us and nobody can go from one place to the other. And then he said to the rich man, you remember when you were on the earth, you had your good things. And Lazarus had hard things. Now, he's got the good things, you've got the hard things. You remember the very first miracle that Jesus performed? It was at a wedding. And they had run out of wine. So Jesus told the servants, fill these jars full of water. So they did. And then he said, now take to the master of the feast. And they did that. And the water had been changed into wine. And when the guy tasted the wine, he said to the man, he said, you know, everybody else first of all serves the good wine. And then when men are drunk, they give them that which is worse. That's what the devil does. That's the devil's banquet. That's how the devil treats his children. He gives them all the good stuff in this life. What they think is good. It isn't really, but they think it is. And then when it's all gone and they die, then comes that which is worse. He sends them down to live with him down in hell where there's not even a drop of water and there's nothing. That's how the devil does it. But Jesus saves the good until the end. And so he has for you a big mansion up in heaven right now that he's building for each one of you. And someday you're going to be there in a new heavens and a new earth. And there'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more tears. And that's what Jesus is getting at. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We'll have a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have solved the only real problem that we have, and that's the problem of sin. And while we still do mourn because we daily sin much, we know that we have comfort because you have told us that our sins are forgiven. And someday we know that our comfort will be complete when you will give us a glorified body that will be like yours and will never ever sin again, and will be living with you in a new kingdom forever. We pray now the prayer that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We'll close by singing hymn number 5.